This is my husband, Keith, and we don't know everybody, so I just want to tell you a little bit about our family. We have 7 kids. We have Briley, our oldest, is 18, and he attends Piedmont. And then we have Grant is 16, Clark is 15, Elena is 13, and then the next two are Kendrick and Nanteza, and they're 10 and 11, and they were adopted from Uganda 6 years ago. And then our little one is Anthony, who is 7, and his adoption was final a year last May. So that's a little bit about us. We spent the last year in Uganda, East Africa, serving for medical missions. Keith does anesthesia. So I made the mistake of telling our pastors. They asked about our year in Uganda, and I said it was the hardest year of our life, and we can't wait to go back. And so he's like, "What was that?" So, wait, come again? So he asked us to share a living story today, and we just want to kind of tell how God worked through our life in that year in a really condensed version. Going into it, we picked a theme verse. Keith picked a theme verse. He's good like that. It's pretty common one, Micah 6:8, that says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God." And we really wanted to live that verse out during our time in Uganda. And we might have had these idyllic visions of how that would play out that didn't always happen. And we really wanted to, you know, really serve the least of these and provide for those without and righting wrongs. And we had lots of opportunities to do things like that, things that, you know, I can't tell my mom. She still doesn't know some of the things that happened because she'd still ground me, I think. You know, just some of those situations that are maybe more dangerous, that they always say, like, don't walk the bush village at night after dark, or, you know, don't go break up that fight of that older boy beating the younger girl, things like that that you just found as you walked along your day that you could choose to ignore or you could choose to engage in. And so we had a lot of engaging. While we were there, we got to worship in a church that was a national church and filled with Ugandans, and we stood out a lot, but we enjoyed our time there and just had some great, you know, true worship with people who might not have had a lot of earthly things or a meal coming, but they were like the happiest people in the world, filled with joy because they knew that God was for them and not against them, and they wanted to bring glory to God and what they had and where they were. So we had a house that had a revolving door of visitors. We had from like, I think, October of last year to the day I left, the end of June, we had visitors. Some of them overlapped. We had oftentimes over 20 extra people for dinner every night. Our 16-year-old got really good at taking the bunk beds down and putting the bunk beds back up and rearranging. It was like that game Musical Chairs, but it was with beds. We always had people around. One of the things that we didn't really expect there is we ended up with a 14-year-old foster daughter who came to us pregnant. And so about 2 months after she was with us, she had a baby girl. And I think one of the hardest things I had to learn while I was there was that I can't do it all. I can't, and I'm no better than anybody else. And so even though she was 14, to be able to just kind of walk alongside her and teach her how to parent and how to be a mother, it was really hard because I just wanted to do it myself. And I'm like, I know how to do this. I'm better at it than you, so just let me do it. But that's not really helping her to learn how to work with her circumstances. So we had a lot of, you know, just different situations like that. So y'all pray for Rachel and Anissa, because, yeah, they need it.
Well, thank you again for letting us share this morning. We really appreciate the opportunity. It's hard to condense a full year's worth of experiences into 5 minutes. In fact, it's very much impossible. But as Jenna shared, there are bits and pieces, little snapshots of our time there that we wanted to share to give you an idea of what made it the worst year, and yet something that would make us want to go back. One thing that Jenna didn't mention was my work. I was at the hospital 40, 50 hours a week, and then I would be on call. And I was on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I might have been there during regular operating hours and then get a call, go back at dinner time and be there until midnight and wake up the next day and not see the kids and go back. And so Jenna was doing a lot of this on her own. Besides the work schedule, Jenna was also sick, and so was Grant. Grant was admitted to the hospital for malaria. Jenna had brucellosis, and even now she still has headaches frequently. I say frequently, really, it's every day. She has headaches, and the disease is gone, but it's just evolved into this chronic illness that we hope and pray someday will go away and leave her pain-free. But why would we want to go back? You know, what made this so wonderful and so terrible at the same time? Well, we changed our motto halfway through our stay there. Instead of Micah 6:8, we really held on to Jeremiah 29:11. And I think, I didn't mention in the last service, this goes through verse 13. For I know the plan I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So our vision of what God had planned for us initially was far different than what actually happened. It took a while. Took some praying and some time in the Word. But we were able to come back and see that everything that happened was for good. We serve a God who loves us. He doesn't want to be a father who's punishing and providing experiences through bad situations. He loves us. Everything he brings to us is for our improvement, to grow us, and to make us more Christ-like every day. So we had a choice. Do we want to look at this as bad or good? So some things are bad, but, you know, that's just the choice that we made. And we made to look at it as a good thing. We also know from the first chapter of James that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, in whom there is no changing or shifting shadow. He loves us. He's the same when things are going well as when things are going bad. We so often want other things than what God wants for us. Over the last year, we have begun to learn to wait and to trust him who will always be faithful to us, even to the point of hoping and praying that we can go back and we can do it all over again.